This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes, which may be disturbing to some listeners.
Today, we're bringing you the story of Jennifer Hammond and Christina White, two teenage girls who mysteriously disappear from the same community, but about a year and a half apart. When their remains are discovered, police are no longer investigating missing persons, they're investigating murders. Is this the work of two different killers, or are these girls connected by evil?
This is APB Cold Case. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
We begin with 18-year-old Jennifer Hammond, who in July of 2003 left her home in Littleton, Colorado for a new job in upstate New York as part of a traveling sales company. To her friends and family, 5'2", hazel-eyed Jennifer was affectionately known as Moonbeam. Those who knew her characterized her as adventurous, kind of a free spirit. And at this time in her life, Jennifer yearned for independence and new experiences. She wanted to meet new people, and she was hoping for all of that in upstate New York. But maybe the job wasn't what she'd expected, or maybe she was just homesick, because Jennifer had been in communication with her family, and her dad had purchased a bus ticket for her to come home. And that ticket was waiting to be picked up in Albany. Jennifer and her co-workers were staying at a Red Roof Inn just outside of Albany, New York. And in the late afternoon or early evening on August 30th, 2003, Jennifer was dropped off by her employer at a trailer park in the town of Milton in Saratoga County, about 20 miles from Albany. Her job? Going door-to-door selling magazine subscriptions. Here's Undersheriff Jeff Brown of the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office.
She was in part of that traveling magazine sales group and was dropped off and what at the time was called Creek and Pines Trailer Park. They were dropped off in a van, and they were told to be back at a certain time where they would get picked back up.
According to authorities, Jennifer would have been dropped off alone and would have worked her designated area for about an hour and a half, and then she would have been the first one picked up. But at about 8:30 that same evening, Jennifer failed to show up at the designated pickup location in front of the park. So the van driver left and continued to pick up other sales reps, and then he went back to the Creek and Pines for Jennifer. He drove slowly through the trailer park, honking the horn. But still, no Jennifer. The driver called his manager. Initially, her employer wasn't overly concerned. Magazine sales is often a transient workforce, and it's not uncommon when someone fails to show up without notice.
You know, interviewing magazine salespeople in general, and they said it wouldn't be completely unusual. The van pulled away and she said, screw this, I'm going to go this direction and go to the Cumberland Farms and chill out for the day.
Undersheriff Brown mentioned Cumberland Farms, which is a regional chain of convenience stores in the Northeast, offering fast food, beverages, and gas. And kids in the area would often hang out there. So she could have gone there. But Jennifer's co-workers had some other ideas. Jeff Brown said that in some of the statements taken from co-workers, they thought that maybe she'd met some people and started partying. Authorities were told that it wasn't uncommon for this group to run into another group and say, hey, I'm going to hang out for the evening. Others thought that Jennifer had taken advantage of her father's offer to go back to Colorado. So when Jennifer doesn't return to the hotel, her employer assumes she just decided to go back home. But they found it strange that she'd left all of her belongings behind. They eventually reached out to her family and found out that she had not gone home, so they decided to call it in. And on November 2, 2003, over 2 months since they'd last seen her, Jennifer's employer reported her missing to police. They were unfamiliar with the geography of New York State, so their first call went to the wrong agency, but eventually they reached the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office. Undersheriff Jeff Brown started working the case early in the investigation.
One of the stumbling blocks, I guess, if you will, with her case was that we had a delay in the report. So she was last seen on August 30th of 03, and our report came in November 2nd of 03. And that came in through the folks at the magazine sales where she worked. She disappeared. It was called the town of Milton, which is in our county. And there's also a Milton in an adjacent state. So there was a little bit of a mix-up when they first started to report it. They got directed to the wrong police department and eventually made it to us. We started an investigation on it quickly because we were already kind of behind the ball. We were able to locate the hotel room and see if stuff was left behind.
Police initially focused their efforts on the trailer park.
The last contact we had was her getting out of that van and walking into the park. We did canvass the park. We attempted to determine if she did knock on any doors. As I recall, we didn't find anybody in particular that could have a, you know, independent recollection of that day, definitely being a magazine salesperson that matched her description. There's also a pretty high turnover there in the park also, which always hampers an investigation, as well as, you know, numerous people living in particular homes in there. But no, we didn't have like a specific trailer that we know she went to.
And their investigation did not reveal that she sold any subscriptions or even made any sales calls in the area of her disappearance. So now they're looking for any kind of lead. Jennifer's mother reported to investigators that her daughter made a prescription charge at a Wegmans grocery and pharmacy store in Rochester, New York in August. But it would turn out that this was a full 10 days before Jennifer went missing, and likely before Jennifer and her co-workers even arrived in Saratoga. The family is providing as much information as possible, all the while hoping she'll just turn up.
She had been speaking to family about coming home. They did get a bus ticket for her to come back home, but she never did retrieve that bus ticket from Albany. So we were able to verify that she never did go to the bus station and get the ticket, although she had some desire to go home.
At this point in the investigation, police have spoken with family, co-workers, and residents in the area where Jennifer was last seen. Could she have just left on her own? Some of her co-workers didn't think so, and they thought that something was very wrong. But without a crime scene, a location indicating that something had happened, the case goes cold. And that brings us to our second case in this episode. It was less than a year and a half after the disappearance of Jennifer Hammond when another young woman, 19-year-old Christina White, goes missing from the same town of Milton. Christina White lived with her mother and brother at the Stockade Mobile Home Park, known today as Saratoga Village, which is on Rock City Road in Milton. She is petite at only 5'3". She has blue eyes, and in 2005, her naturally red hair was dyed a dark black in the goth style. As was her habit, she'd frequently walk around the community in the late night to early morning hours, and she was often seen wearing a long trench coat. Again, here's Undersheriff Jeff Brown.
She was a small frame girl, certainly very familiar with the area, growing up in the area, knew people knew her. That would have been normal for her to walk a lot around town and be seen in that dark trench coat.
On the evening of June 30th, 2005, Christina was at home with her brother, her brother's friend, and her grandmother. At a little after 9 p.m., she decided to go for one of her walks. She put on her signature trench coat and walked out the front door. But Christina didn't return home, and after a few days, her mother called authorities to report her missing on July 3rd. The Saratoga County Sheriff's Office immediately began an investigation. In speaking with the family, it was mentioned that Christina had an argument with her brother Kevin on the day she went missing.
It appeared to be a minor disagreement, though, nothing serious that we were concerned with. She walked often, so that was not unusual for her.
Investigators interviewed family, friends, and former boyfriends. Undersheriff Brown said there was a large amount of social activity surrounding the trailer park where she lived, so they went door to door in the park. But during that canvass, they didn't find anyone who had seen Christina. Undersheriff Brown said that they received information from a young man who Christina had chatted with online. He said that Christina told him she had a stalker. Police interviewed the man, but were unable to corroborate anything specific about a stalker. So, as the investigation continued, detectives learned more about Christina and her routine. Her family said it wasn't unusual for her to take off for a few days at a time, as she had done that in the past. But they found it unusual that she wouldn't have come home for her upcoming birthday on the 4th of July. And then a witness came forward who said that she saw Christina at about 10 p.m. on June 30th, just a half hour after her family said she left home. She was walking eastbound on Geyser Road near Rowland Street, about 3 miles from her home. And the route from her house at the Stockade Mobile Home Park to this location would have taken her right past Middle Line Road, which would put her within 1/5 of a mile from the entrance to the Creek and Pines Trailer Park, where the still-missing Jennifer Hammond was last seen getting out of the magazine crew van. This witness observation would be the last credible account of someone seeing Christina alive. You can see a map of this area in our show notes. Undersheriff Brown describes the area of Geyser Road where Christina would have been headed.
But definitely not as populated back then as it is now. Cumberland Farms certainly attracted the local kids to walk to. It's definitely been built up quite a bit in the last 17 years, that whole intersection. Now it really is, like you said, a business district kind of center of town. Still was to some extent then, but nothing like it is now.
Police felt that the witness who last saw Christina was credible, and it would not have been unusual for Christina to walk that distance or to walk to that location and beyond. So, as part of their investigation, Undersheriff Brown told us that they did some road checks where she was last seen, stopping motorists passing through the area, asking if they saw anything that might help in the investigation. They also passed out flyers and checked the area for surveillance cameras, but no footage of Christina was found. Police monitor Christina's bank account, and according to Undersheriff Brown, she normally collected income through a debit card, but those funds were never accessed after her disappearance. With no leads as to where she may have gone, or a scene pointing to something happening to her, this case also goes cold. But things take a tragic turn on March 10, 2006, when human remains are found by a man out hunting crows in the 500-acre Daketown State Forest. This is an area where people would pull off to the side of the road and would walk or hike nearby. The remains, which were found in a thick growth of pine trees not far from the roadway, were identified as Christina White, who by that time had been missing for 8 months.
So if you were to head north on Lake Desolation Road in the town of Greenfield, not too far up on your right hand would be a road called Daketown Road, and that's part of a state forest called the Daketown Forest.
Undersheriff Brown was an investigator then, and he was part of the evidence team that descended on the scene to search for clues. He said that because the remains were in such a thick area of trees, he believes it was used as a way for the killer to conceal the body, and they didn't believe that there was any attempt of a burial. It was very apparent that the remains had been there for quite some time, as they were just bones by that point and layered with leaf cover. The team conducted a thorough grid search of the area, carefully removing layers of debris. They were able to recover about 90% of her remains. According to Undersheriff Brown, it's not clear if Christina was killed at the site where her body was discovered, but a limited amount of clothing was found, leading police to suspect there could have been a sexual assault. Undersheriff Brown isn't saying what else they found at the scene, but he did indicate that they have some important evidence. An autopsy would determine that Christina White had been stabbed in the abdomen. The location of Christina's remains are about 8 miles from where she was last seen. Now, I'm giving you a lot of locations for both cases, and if you need a frame of reference, check out the map in our show notes. So, I want to quickly recap the basic timeline here. On August 30th, 2003, Jennifer Hammond goes missing. Sometime after the evening of June 30th, 2005, Christina White goes missing. And in March 2006, Christina White's remains are found. And then, in another tragic turn, on October 25th, 2009, 3.5 years after Christina's remains were found, some hunters came across a human skull in a wooded area off of Lake Desolation Road in the town of Greenfield in Saratoga County. Undersheriff Brown told me that hunting season had just started, and three local men, one of whom owned property in the area, were out in the woods when they came upon the skull. They contacted police and described the location of the skull as being about 0.3 miles off the road. He said it wasn't directly near any type of an ATV trail. Police aren't sure if the location where the skull was found is the same area where her body was originally placed, and due to the passage of time, there were several seasons of leaf fall for investigators to comb through. But they methodically hand-searched the area as well as the trails and entry points off of Fox Hills Road, but they find nothing more. Because of how remote it is, the area was accessible only by a dirt road at that time, and it's been described by the undersheriff as the most remote part of the county. Police think it's likely that a four-wheel drive vehicle might have been used to cover some of the distance by the killer to access the site. She may have been carried the rest of the way deeper into the area where she was found. I asked Undersheriff Brown if the area was similar to the location where Christina's remains were found, and he said that they were somewhat similar, except Jennifer's was much more remote. The medical examiner confirms this is Jennifer Hammond, and just like Christina White, Jennifer's cause of death is listed as homicide. And even though the missing girl's remains are about 10 miles apart from each other, they're along the same road, a road that becomes more isolated the farther you go.
Both are listed as homicide. Jennifer's is undetermined as far as the method. Christina's cause of death is stabbing.
Police sent out news releases when each of the girls' remains were found, and again when the autopsy results come back. But no substantial leads came in as a result of the publicity. Police don't think there was any attempt to bury the bodies. They don't know if they were actually killed where their remains were recovered or just dumped there. So let's recap how the remains were found. Christina was found in a dense and thick area of forest by a man hunting crows, and Jennifer's remains were found by three hunters walking through the woods. In each case, it was the skull that stood out to the men. Police thoroughly searched the areas where both bodies were discovered. But because of advanced decomposition and the passage of time, very little evidence was recovered from either scene. And again, both cases go cold. Now, let's take a look at the victims and what they have in common. Both girls were 18 to 19 years old when they disappeared. They were of similar build, very petite. Jennifer Hammond was 5'2", 110 pounds. Christina White was 5'3", 95 pounds. Their bodies were found in remote, wooded areas in the town of Greenfield in Saratoga County, along the same roadway about 10 miles apart. Both were last seen in the evening to late night hours, and both were likely alone at the times that they were last seen. And those last seen locations were about a mile and a half apart. Jennifer was believed to be walking door to door at the Creek and Pines Trailer Park, and Christina was walking around town by herself. Both teens had been in or in the area of the Creek and Pines Trailer Park. Was the killer someone living in the area? Police concentrated on the trailer parks as part of their investigation, but they say there's a high turnover in the parks, presenting a challenge as they're trying to locate potential witnesses from a particular time frame. But their probe wasn't solely focused on the trailer parks. There were specific people that detectives looked at as well.
Obviously, we looked into a lot of different people. We do not have a prime suspect. Certainly, investigators that worked on the cases have theories on potential suspects.
One of those people was 49-year-old married father of three, John Regan of Connecticut. On October 31, 2005, almost 4 months after Christina White went missing, John Regan attempted to abduct a 17-year-old high school track star from the Saratoga Springs High School parking lot. Fortunately, the girl's coaches heard her screams and intervened, chasing Regan, who drove off in a van as police were alerted. The high school parking lot where the attempted abduction occurred is just 4 miles from where Christina White was last seen. Published reports at the time said that Regan had positioned the sliding door of his van alongside the victim's car, ambushing her as she got to her car. And most disturbing was what police would find inside the van. The back seat had been removed. They found a tarp, liquor, and pre-knotted ropes, one formed into a noose. Under Sheriff Brown and Sheriff Mike Zerlo, both investigators in 2005, went to Saratoga Springs Police Department to interview John Regan. Brown told us that Regan had been working on a home in the city of Saratoga Springs in 2005 at the time of the attempted abduction, but they found no connection to either the Christina White or Jennifer Hammond case. There was also another man who needed to be checked out due to a recent incident in the area. It's a heart-wrenching case that captured national media attention. On a warm Saturday evening in September 2023, a 9-year-old girl was with her family at the Moreau State Park in Saratoga County, where they'd been camping. Published reports from the time said that the girl had been riding her bike around a large loop trail with her cousins when she decided to make one more lap on her own. She was last seen at about 6:15 p.m., but she never returned. Hundreds of search and rescue personnel descended on the area, and an Amber Alert was launched. 2 days later, on October 2nd, 46-year-old Craig N. Ross was arrested. Ultimately, it was his fingerprints on a ransom note that helped lead detectives to Ross. The victim was rescued from a cabinet in a trailer behind the home of Ross's mother in the town of Milton. He was charged with kidnapping for ransom and predatory sexual assault against a child. In February 2024, he pled guilty to those charges and is expected to spend upwards of 50 years in prison. Craig Ross was not on the Saratoga County Sheriff's radar prior to the kidnapping of the 9-year-old girl in 2023, and police did not find any records indicating that Ross ever lived in either of the trailer parks involved in the Hammond and White cases. Undersheriff Brown said that even though Ross had always been a local man and was in the area, living just a few streets away at the time of the disappearances of both Jennifer and Christina, authorities do not believe he's connected to either of their murders. We asked Undersheriff Brown about a possible connection between the Jennifer Hammond and Christina White cases.
I think the general consensus is that we believe that they're related due to the proximity of where they both disappeared from, their age, how they look, and where the remains were found. There's a lot of similarities with all that. There's a strong belief that the cases are related, although they did occur at different times.
Some have wondered if there's any connection between the Jennifer Hammond and Christina White cases to the case of missing college student Suzanne Lyall. She was from the area of Ballston Spa in Milton, but at the time of her disappearance, she was attending college in Albany, New York. According to a missing person flyer, Suzanne was last seen on the evening of March 2, 1998, as she left the Crossgates Mall in Gilderland. She boarded a Transit Authority bus heading to the State University of New York at Albany, where she was a student. It's believed that she got off the bus at Collins Circle and has not been seen since that time. Her case remains unsolved. Going back to Jennifer Hammond and Christina White, there's been speculation in social media that because both girls had red hair, that the killer had an interest in redheads. But police point out that Christina's hair was dyed black at the time of her disappearance. The photographs used by police in their bulletins show both victims with red hair, since they were among the best full-face images that they had for the girls. You can see those pictures in our show notes. During the investigation into Jennifer Hammond's murder, police learned that she had a good friend back home named April Pickett, who, before the days of text messages, used to keep in touch with Jennifer through a journal that they'd mail back and forth to each other. April shared that with police, and there was an entry that stuck out to investigators. It was in Jennifer's handwriting. Unfortunately, police were unable to determine exactly when Jennifer mailed the journal back to her friend April. The envelope is gone. But that journal entry date, November 29, 2003, is intriguing. Not because of what the entry said, but because it was after she went missing. 3 months after. So when did April actually get the journal in the mail? That's something that detectives would love to get an answer to. The murders of Christina White and Jennifer Hammond have puzzled authorities. Unfortunately, there was no surveillance footage in the areas where the girls were last seen. Police do have a general idea of the areas where each of the girls went missing, but they don't have a specific crime scene for either. Only the recovery sites where the girls' remains were found. And they do believe these cases could be connected. Police continue to send out annual press releases on these open investigations, hoping that someone will remember something or have a crucial piece of information to share. The seclusion of the forest where the bodies were taken lead police to believe that they're looking for someone with knowledge of the region or experience in that area. The Sheriff's Department is hopeful that someone may have a tip that could shed light on the case and bring justice to the victims and their families. If you have information about the murders of Jennifer Hammond or Christina White, call Saratoga County Sheriff's Office at 518-885-6761. You can also find this information on our website at apbcoldcase.com, along with photos, timeline, maps, and blog.
Thanks for listening to APB Cold Case. Tell us about your cold case at apbcoldcase@spawngroup.com. APB Cold Case is an original Spawn Group production.